Our scripture lesson for the sermon, I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. The living and active and very sharp word of the living God. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Thus far the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of it. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we press on in our series of sermons on the Bible's, the biblical theology of work. Today we are going to, the sermon is titled, Work Matters, and that's meant on a, yes, it matters, but these are matters pertaining to our work. Work matters. We're going to look at employees today, workers today. Workers are addressed in the Bible here in Ephesians chapter 6, and there's a parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 3. Workers are addressed, employees are addressed, and so are their bosses, by the way, those who have commissioned them with a particular task, those who are overseeing them, but that's for the future. Today, we're going to look at workers, employees, and here, of course, it's bondservants, and we know what that means, biblically speaking. But this passage that I read today ends with, this is true whether you are bond or free, whether you are a slave, a bond slave, or a free worker, worker for someone else. So it applies to employees, those enlisted by others. Okay? This text has a Christ word and a God word direction. We need to get this straight right away. Verse 5, bondservants, obey your masters according to the flesh. You cannot say, oh, well, God is my boss. Obey your masters according to the flesh. Do this with fear and trembling. Do this with humility, with sincerity of heart. Don't be a mocker. Don't be duplicitous. Do it as unto Christ. What is your duty to Christ? Honor your boss. Verse 6, don't do it. And here's, of course, the biggest pitfall for Christians in the workforce today, even Christians, we work to please men. We work to please our boss. It doesn't mean we're supposed to go, boss, I don't care what you say. We're to obey our bosses. But our first objective needs to be to the Lord. We are not to be, I only want to look good in front of my boss. I just want to please my boss. I'm to please the Lord, first of all. We are bondservants of Christ. Verse 6 says, doing the will of God from the heart. Our direction is the pleasure of the Lord. This is stated again in verse 7. With goodwill doing service. What does this mean? Not begrudgingly, not cranking all the time, not grousing all the time. With goodwill do service as to the Lord, not to men. And you may say, wait a minute, we're supposed to serve our masters according to the flesh, our bosses according to the flesh, and this is a way of serving the Lord? Yes. Yes. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this includes you as well as your boss later, knowing that whatever good anyone does, you're going to receive the same from the Lord, and this is true whether you're slave or free. There's our passage today. So you're going to ask a good question. Here it is. How do we do this? What does this look like? If I am to serve as unto the Lord and to be the one who pleases the Lord first, and from there I'm actually obeying my boss and honoring my boss, what are some of the things in this day and age that I might need to hear about or focus on? Well, that's the rest of this sermon today. So work matters, employees, and what I'd like to do is to present some things that we should think about as employees with regard to how do we honor the Lord with regard to our jobs, just the job, the work that we have. And again, this can be a job of a chore that you've been appointed unto, student tasks, paycheck tasks, whether it's salary or hourly or otherwise, if you're on contract or otherwise. So first of all, how can I please the Lord with regard to my work? What are some things that I can do with regard to my boss? What's my attitude and approach to my boss as well? And then how this will affect those we work with. Few of us work alone. Okay, few of us work alone. Anyway, so here we go. And by the way, I think I need to lay a bit of a foundation here. Allow this to be the gravity that's holding all of us down, or the ground upon which we trod. Here it is. What you do says something about who you are. This is true of the Lord. The Lord is the Creator, and Psalm 19:1 says the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are saying something about God, okay? We're made in His image, and what we do says something about us. So this is the gravity that's holding us in place, or the ground upon which we walk. So consider your work. And here's another passage from Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his deeds. Even a child is known by his deeds. So, what does it look like in the workplace? So, work matters employees. The first thing that I would say with regard to your job, your work, your tasks that you've been given is this. Very simple points. Be faithful. Be reliable. Be someone who can be counted upon. Be faithful. How does the Lord make himself known in Deuteronomy 7, 9? He makes himself known as a faithful God. He says, I am the covenant-keeping God, the faithful God. God is faithful, and so we're made in his image. We're to be faithful. Are you reliable? Are you reliable in this? Show up on time. Show up on time. Be ready to work. I have been tasked with this. I'm going to show up and get to work. When you show up, be ready to work. When it's time to begin, begin. Begin. Be reliable. Be faithful in this. This dragon of the feet doesn't look good anywhere. Well, maybe on the beach, if you're making a volleyball court, you can drag your foot, make a line, but don't drag your feet. And by the way, we're addressing Christians here. I'm going to be very direct with Christians. Christians act like Christians. Paul addresses bondservants, servants, whether you're slave or be this way, act this way. Fulfill your appointed duties. This is part of faithfulness. You've been given a task to do. If it's within your skill set to do it, do it. And if it's not in your skill set, admit it. And that's part of fulfilling. Supervisor, boss, overseer, Mr. or Mrs., whomever your overseer, speak. Tell the truth. Fulfill your duties. You've been given a job to do. Do it all the way through. Fulfill your shift also. It's so easy to check out early because everyone is doing it. Doing it. Just keep doing it. They're doing it, and I don't want to make them look bad. Do you put things off? You have tasks before you? I'm just going to put it off. No, be faithful and do your work. Years ago, I was a deacon in a church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, and he had this thing in his home. It was a round piece of wood, and sitting there on his kitchen table, and it had four letters on it, T-U-I-T, to it. And he handed it to me, and I said, what is this? He said, what's it say? I said, to it. He said, well, what is it? I said, it's a round piece of wood. He goes, that's right, it's a round to it. And a lot of people have this attitude, I'll get around to it eventually. What if we've been, and that was interesting to me. I got it. show up on time. When you show up, be ready. Fulfill your shift. This is part of reflecting the image of God. Get about your task. Be reliable in giving and keeping your word. If you say you're going to be there, be there. If you say you're going to do it, do it. And some people go, you know, this is little stuff. No. If you say it's little stuff and believe it's little stuff and act as if it's little stuff, then that's why the testimony of the church is so pathetic. It's pathetic. Our testimony is lame. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. The psalmist says that the righteous man swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. Well, I could lose money if I... Did you give your word? Another word for this, and this whole heading is be faithful. Sometimes, what does it mean to have faith? It means to have trust. If I have faith in God, I trust God to fulfill His word regarding me. Well, what does it mean for me to be faithful? It means I act that way. Another word for faith is trust. I trust God to fulfill His word. I can't trust myself. I can't trust you. You can't trust me to accomplish your salvation and that which is good concerning you. But we can trust the Lord. Now, are you trustable? Are you trustful? Are you trustworthy? Is it worth someone else placing their trust in you? And if you think, well, you know, this isn't that big of a deal. No, it is. And you know what? We allow a little bit here, and then we're going to allow a little bit more there, and then we're going to put a big old slab of dough on the counter later on, and then before you know it, there's an entire beachhead of disobedience because you couldn't keep your word. Or no, because you didn't keep your word. Employers today would love to find people that can show up on time and fulfill their work. Christian employers ought to be the examples of this. By the way, the scriptures commonly speak of messengers as being reliable or unreliable. Messengers! Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble. That's a wicked messenger. But a faithful ambassador brings health. You have somebody who can keep his word, who's a faithful messenger, a faithful ambassador, health. Health. But you find any community of people where there's this, you know, I'm just not going to keep my word on this one, and then on this one, the rot will set in and there will not be health. Another word for this could be integrity. Being genuine. Be faithful. Be consistent. Okay, next. So first of all, be faithful. Be reliable. Next, be truthful. This is related to the above. I've agreed to work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. from the beginning of the day through the heat of the day to the end of the day, and I agreed for a denarii or a denarius. I agreed to that. Then fulfill it, and at the end of the day, okay, so you've been faithful. Well, you also need to be truthful in all of this. So you can see how these things are related. I've put in a full day. I agreed for a denarius from 6 to 6. I'm going to do my work for that denarius. The Lord in Psalm 51 says that He desires truth in the innermost man, in the inner being. Psalm 51:6. The Lord desires truth in the innermost part. Why? Because if I have truth in the innermost part, what I put my hand to will be truthful. But you know what? Deceivers are deceived even about their truthfulness. There have been statistics. You can find studies. You can Google these until you're tired of Googling these things. You can Bing them if you'd rather. About the opinions of of workers about their own integrity. And it's likely that they're not even being honest about their integrity. We're so blinded to our status. There's not truth in the innermost man. By the way, when we're trained week after week to confess our sins, quit playing games with the Lord. The Lord sees everything. Why? And by the way, we're playing games with the Lord too when we're lying to our fellow man. We're lying to our employees. Deep and all the way down, the Lord desires truth in the innermost man. This is related to theft. Do you steal time? Money. You steal money? Objects. They're not going to notice paper clips. Well, how about truth in the innermost man? Why would we ever say, who's gonna miss it? And by the way, look what they did to me. I had to put in some extra time, and so I think I deserve this. Mm-mm. That's theft of productivity. Various ways. So you can steal time from another, from your boss, from your employer, by not paying attention to lessons given or instructions given. You may disagree with the new policy being rolled out, it's not sinful. They've rolled it out. They expect you to follow it. And what are you doing? You're doodling in your mind. Can't wait to get out of this place. Got to get out of here. And then it comes time for you to implement it. And you've not been truthful. You've not been reliable in that. We live in a day and age where it's so... By the way, this is nothing new with human nature, but human nature produces things that scratch our itches. There are so many distractions we can pursue today at the push of a button or at the glance of a phone or because of multiple screens. And so when human nature is not longing to be faithful and filled with integrity and honesty, human nature will pursue distractions, and it's not as if there were not distractions 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. There have always been things that we can look at and go, or as I did a few years ago at Summer Sanctus, squirrel, you know, we have that idea of that one Doug the dog in that movie Up, squirrel. And there's so many distractions that are easy to pursue. We need to be godliness in the workplace demands that we do not pursue distractions. What about godliness in your studies? You've been given a job to do with your homework, and what are you doing? You know that this job could take it demands 3 hours of study. And because you've done squirrel and looking all over the place, it's 5 hours. Next thing you know, it's supper time. You're not able to help put the meal on the table. You're not able to take care of outside chores because integrity has gone out the window. Truthfulness with regard to what you've been called to do has not been done. This doesn't mean that there are not important matters of interruption. That I'm talking about choosing distractions that keep you from your task. We shouldn't be this way. Theft, back to theft. What if money is just lying there and no one is around? There are no cameras. Would you take it? $10,000. $10. A dollar. Would you take it? Most would say, no. Really? But there are other ways to be taking a dollar, $10, $10,000 by our lack of performance or our failed performance. Another way to not be truthful is that sometimes you can present yourself for what you're not, or you can take credit for another person's work. You can falsify data. Resume. Oh, I'm going to look good here. I can't get the job if I don't do this. You should be someone who is concerned about the integrity of the company and the company's books because you're part of the company. You should be trustworthy in the dark in the dark. Schoolwork. Okay, I'd like you to go to your desk and to take care of this test. Or if you're at a day school, a Christian academy, this is a take-home test. I want you to take care of it. How do you do your tests? Right, I knew that. I really didn't. That's why I was checking. Lies. It's a lie. The devil is the father of lies. John 8:44. Father of lies. He gives birth to liars. Am I of God or am I of the devil? Am I of the truth or am I of the lies? Revelation 22 says the lake of fire has been prepared for not just the devil and his angels, but for liars. Next, be diligent. Be diligent. Do you look to evade the work or to embrace the work? Do you look to get away from the work or do you look to the work that you've been given? Be diligent. This congregation is blessed with a number of ladies who do not eat the bread of idleness. May none of us eat the bread of idleness. That would be that's a dietary statement. Tell me about your diet. Well, I don't eat the bread of idleness. I eat the bread of industry. Do you walk over the paper cup on the floor? Do you act like you didn't see it? As truth and faithfulness related to our diligence. A number of years ago, there's a very popular television show called Seinfeld. There's a character on Seinfeld named George Costanza. George Costanza was one, his character was always trying to get out of work, so much so that he had a custom-made desk that he could get up in and sleep in his desk while he was working for the New York Yankees. George Costanza would have been the poster child for avoiding work and doing anything he could to get out of work. Matter of fact, he even came up with one technique and he noticed it and he told his friends, he says, if I'm at my desk and I look bothered, people think that I'm busy. So he's sitting in there doing nothing. It's the form of, he's lying, he's not faithful, he's not diligent. So what he'd do, somebody would walk into his office there at Yankee Stadium and so he'd look bothered. Laziness is one of the traditional seven deadly sins. Go to the ant. The ant works even when the boss is not looking. We're to learn from the ant. Get busy. And I don't mean just busyness and busy work. We're talking about employees who have been given a task. I'm assuming the job has been described. Your arena and your place and your duties are clear. Get about it. Go to the ant. Be like the ant. The scriptures are clear. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. But he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. We can make this as simple, whatever your task is, if it's ironing or if it's running a company. You've been given a task to do. To tend to it will result in bread, peaceful, pleasant bread. To follow frivolity shows that you are devoid of understanding. Next. This is all with regard to your job. You're walking into your place of work, wherever that may be. Learn contentment. Learn contentment. And I would like to give you some tips on learning contentment. A couple of things to not do, and then some things to do. Okay, a couple of things to not do. Stop blaming everyone and everything else. It's an absence of faithfulness. It's an absence of being diligent. It's an absence of realizing your place in the world. But when you're always going, this is terrible, and that person did, and this job is this. We know the blame categories that we use. And when we're busy blaming and pointing fingers out there, we're not being responsible here. And discontent grows. By the way, it'll happen in the family. It'll happen in the church. It'll happen in your workplace. If you're always going... And, you know, early on in this series, I mentioned Adam blaming Eve. They blame the serpent. Really, what they're doing is blaming God. Blaming God. Stop blaming. Pick the category. Next, stop grousing. Stop grousing. How many times I've walked into a place of business, into the marketplace, and come up to the counter. How are you doing today? And the merchant would say, doing pretty well. I'm not going to complain. Wouldn't do any good anyway. You know, there's an element of truth to that. You know, depending on what you mean by complain, but you know what? The reality is, who wants to hear your grousing? Who wants to hear your belly aching? Who, your molly grubbing, to use various terms? Who wants to hear mumble, mumble, grumble? You've been given work to do. You signed up for the class. You signed up for... You agreed to the denarius for a day. What good does it do at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when you're... Rar, rar, rar. Or at the end of the day. These people didn't work as long as me. I've been here all day. Well, you know what? You don't know the contract that they... The boss signed a different contract with them than with you. But you see, there's blame and grousing. Do all things. This is difficult. I admit it. It's difficult. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things. All things? Guilty. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. Do all things without grousing and grumbling. How? Don't do that. Don't blame. Don't grumble. And then contentment will grow. But if you're busy blaming and busy grousing, contentment is just gone. And then you'll blame contentment. Whereas, how come I'm just not content? Here's a mirror. Oh. By the way, here's the comforts, false comforts of blaming and grousing. What it will do is it will attract... It will be a magnetic net for other blamers and grumblers. And blamers and grumblers love this stuff because misery loves company. That's the word commiseration. It means to me, have misery with. And so you'll spew and bellyache. And then the people that are busy blaming and grumbling, their antenna are up. Ah, I hear that. And they'll be on that stuff like Winnie the Pooh on honey. They'll just be all over that, and they love that stuff, and the net will be cast, and then it will defile many. So what do you do instead of that? Be humble and give thanks. I recall years ago, and I thought I was heading somewhere with Price Club, Costco, and they have their own hierarchy on the merchandising floor, the part-time stockers, and then the full-time stockers, and then there are the forklift drivers, and then there are the merchandise managers. This is the way it used to be. And I was a stocker, and I was climbing that, and one of the supervisors came by and asked me to bale corrugated or cardboard stuff. That was beneath me. That was maintenance work. That was janitorial work. And I was bothered. I'm better than this. And see, my blame and my grousing was prohibiting any contentment at all. No thankfulness. and the Lord saw fit to grow me to a thankful reception of what was right in front of me, and ended up growing to become the supervisor of the entire maintenance crew. Whereas I didn't even want to bale cardboard, all of a sudden I became supervisor of an entire crew of fellas that swept the floors and mopped the floors and cleaned the toilets and took out the trash and baled corrugated cardboard. Wow. Contentment. Be humble. Learn contentment. Give thanks for your work. Give thanks for your... When's the last time you gave thanks? Thank you for my job, for my ability to work, for the opportunities given, for the challenges or the difficulties, for the growth that is occurring, for interaction with others. That's with regard to our job, those items. I'm going to run now down through a few things with regard to how can you serve the Lord with regard to your boss, your employer. Okay, this is not addressing the boss or the employer. This is addressing you, the worker, with regard to whomever has commissioned, appointed, tasked you in your work. And by the way, I'm taking this from the Westminster Larger Catechism, questions 127 and 128, but I'm just going to offer those to you here. And by the way, to quote one of the poets of yesteryear, you say you want a revolution? Here we go. Want to have a revolutionary approach? Christians in the workplace? Here we go. Approach your work with faithfulness and dependability and reliability and integrity, and be diligent and get about your work and learn contentment. Now, what about our bosses? The biblical word is honor. Give honor. Honor your bosses. What does that look like? Well, to begin with, everything that I've just mentioned, if you do that, will be an honor to your boss. Faithful, reliable, filled with integrity, truthful, diligent, content. Your boss will be honored. And you might want to say, okay, I'm willing to do that, but you don't know my boss. My boss is just make more bricks, no straw for you. My boss is unreasonable. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. You know what? So much of this, we can't control that, but we've been called to do things here. Have a charitable attitude. This is honor. Have a charitable attitude toward your boss, a charitable interpretation of your boss. There's a lot you don't know. And see, by the way, we'll become discontent and we blame and grouse when we think we have the immaculate perception. Well, if I was just sitting in his chair, I would certainly do it this way. He's a monkey head. Ooh, whoa. Such things ought not to be named among the saints. A charitable interpretation of our boss is a loving interpretation, and love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. I'm going to be loving toward my boss. I don't know the whole situation. I do not have the immaculate perception. Next, pray for your bosses. When's the last time you prayed for your boss? And I don't mean, Lord, give my boss what's coming. Give thanks for your boss. This will come out in the way you approach your boss or bosses. Give thanks. By the way, also, imitate their virtues and graces. It's highly unlikely that they don't do all things poorly. And it's also very likely that you've misunderstood a few things. But as you stand back, prayerfully giving thanks, you likely look at your boss and say, you know what, there are actually some wonderful gifts there. I'd like to imitate. Lord, give me the ability to imitate the graces and virtues of my boss or whomever has asked me to do my work, even at the home. You know what? My father is diligent. Lord, may I be diligent like my father. My mother is kind and industrious. May I be like, she's asked me to do this work. Lord, enable me to do this. Imitate their virtues and graces. Next, obey their lawful directives. And, okay, if a boss asks you to do something that's sinful, don't do it. But if it's a lawful directive, if it's a lawful thing that they've asked you to do, obey it. Got it, I'm on it. I'll do my best. And be humble and receptive of their corrections. Come back. I think I finished the task. How did I do? Well, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that. And by the way, we all go, oh, it's time for reviews, employee reviews. What's their place? How do you receive a review? You know, I've got something to learn. Thank you. Lead the way. I'm ready to receive your instruction. I think I did the best I could. I struggled here a bit. What do you say? Anticipate the review, because that shows humility. That shows that you've been praying for them and long for their good, because you're serving the Lord Christ. Next, defend their persons. Defend your boss. Defend the persons and positions. You know what? Because what will happen around the water cooler or around the lunchroom screen, people will,
can you believe what they're asking us to do? That's ridiculous.
I can't believe this. Next thing, they're going to have, and so they go on and on. There's going to be a bunch of big floppy shoes and rubber noses around here. This place is ridiculous. Well, that does. There again, there's that magnetic type net. People sort of, and then they bend an ear. Don't be a part of that. Don't be a part of that, because C.S. Lewis says it wisely in his book, Reflections on the Psalms. That's conniving. Because you can sit there sometimes and not say a word, but you're putting up with it. By not saying a word. And then the cancer spreads. Instead, if you were to say, you know what, I don't want to be part of that. Hey, you know, Neil, what's your problem, man? What's your issue? Don't you see this stuff? You know what? There's a lot that I don't know, and what I do know is that he or she is happens to be our boss, and right now they've given us a task to do, and I think we ought to do it. I don't want part of that. And of course, you're going to hear it. There's going to be a splatter. Defend their persons and their positions. Well, can you believe what he did? You know what? There's a lot that I don't know on that. I'm not touching that. Get rid of the mumblings and the cursings and the teardowns, because what's going to happen? Whoever's at the top is going to be the target. How about the target for prayers and target for support and target for defense? And by the way, remember they are sinners too. So bear with their weaknesses, because you know what? Whomever is in charge, whomever is the leader, be it your boss, be it your mom or dad, they're going to trip. They're going to fail. They're going to sin. How would you want to be treated? You say, well, my boss comes down to me on everything that I'm asking about you. You, not. How would you want to be? Do you like that? Okay, bear with their weaknesses. And cover them in love. You say you want a revolution? What will happen then? Our Lord will be pleased, because we are the Lord's employees. And the Lord says as employees, this is how you treat those in the flesh. And what will happen is it will impact your fellow workers. So there's the three things today. Your approach to your job, your approach to your bosses, and your approach to your fellow workers. It will have a... All of this will affect your fellow workers. It will spread in a lovely manner. Now, some people may say, I don't want any part of that. Fine. You still are required to do what is right. So I'm going to go ahead and conclude there. Work matters. Employees today. And may the Lord add his blessing to this, to not just the reading and the hearing, but the application of his word among us, because we bear his name. May he be kind to do so. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.